of what it was like to be with Christian people from 150 different countries of the world. All there because they were committed to the Scriptures as their source, as their final authority, committed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, committed to evangelizing the world. And whenever you talked to people, you felt this kind of attitude and feeling coming through. It was truly a kind of an international flavor. I just want to try, I'm going to get into this part three in a moment and ask Dr. Preussis to speak on some of these. But just to give you a flavor of the international flavor.
It's so good to see you again. Thank you for coming early. We are an international group that we are going to speak in English to make it easy for the interpreters. But you will notice that there is going to be American English, English English, Swiss English, Brazilian English, and Philippine English, and so on.
That was Swiss English.
You are familiar with the text, your time now to read the text. And at this free time, we can consider it a very important. One of the luxuries which I permit myself back in Sydney is a radio in my car. And as I drive frequently on Sunday evening to take services, it is a privilege to listen to various voices on the air who are expounding the Word of God. And one of the voices that I've become very familiar with, but have only just met in the flesh, is our chairman of the day, Dr. Oswald Hoffman.
Every day there was a chairman from a different country, and Dr. Hoffman was one day representing the United States.
In the Christ the Only Way movement for crusade evangelism are these home Bible study groups, which we call the lay evangelistic group study. We challenge the churches to bring the inquirers into the fellowship of existing lay evangelistic group studies.
From Philippines he was.
Within 2 years of time, all these things happened. So I can go on and on. Another woman next to us, you know, 12 miles from Rajahmundry.
Subama from India, that was.
And as he spoke, he wound up my soul like a clock with inspiration.
From Liberia.
To such an extent that ideas, compassion, burden, everything just jammed me up until I didn't know what to do with myself. With a wheelchair, security is out. Here's a...
This one you got to hear from Nagaland.
Moynihan. I never in my life have had a burden of that type.
Moynihan was interviewing
people
from different parts of the world.
But
and when he got to this man from Nagaland, talking about working among, and the tremendous things happening among the headhunters.
Headhunters a century ago.
That's right.
And now 80% believe in Jesus Christ.
And now with the most of these people, you know, too many people are accepting Jesus Christ. Those who are headhunters. Chingma, see. One who has taken about 70 heads. Now he's a great soul winner, you know. Two years ago he was converted. Chingma. And a peon, see. Peon. With which he has decorated his house. He is now the great soul winner.
But he decorated his house with the heads that he took.
Yeah, with the heads of the
45.
Yeah, 45. You know, in rage, you know.
And now.
In rage. And now he is the treasurer of the church. And who's the great soul winner?
The people from my part of India, when the gospel grips their hearts.
A lonely man traveling with no companion or escort.
Whoa. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in
of the Spirit.
You remember it. That great one.
I want to let you hear finally Corrie Ten Boom. Are you, you know who she is? I can pick it up.
To me. You remember what he said?
give me this power too, so that anyone I place my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. And you'll remember that Peter didn't use the most polite language in telling him what he thought of that. Now, Peter wasn't present to deal with me like that, or it might have saved a lot of trouble.
To me, a little story of a bird, a woodpecker, has helped me in this. A woodpecker picks with his beak against the stem of a tree like they are used to do. But the very moment the lightning struck the tree and destroyed it, and the woodpecker flew away and said, "I didn't know that there was so much power in my beak."
She was illustrating the power of God in her life. All right. Look at the message of Lausanne for us. These are at least some of my personal reactions as to what I think the message, what Lausanne should be saying to us in the church today. And I'm not going to talk about all of these, but I'm going to ask you to give some time to Dr. Preuss now. But the one thing that I didn't get, and I could talk a long time on each one of these, but one of these that got cut off and the sentence didn't get complete was point D. We need a biblical, Christ-centered theology and say it clearly. And say it clearly. One of the problems that I felt very strongly and still feel is that even though many people have a biblical, Christ-centered theology, they have not found the way to communicate it. And one of our problems is to learn how to say it so that the person who doesn't know it can understand it and accept it. Well, so each of these, but let's see what Dr. Preuss would like to share with us at this point.
I wanted to speak second because I wanted to hear what you said first. May I just make two comments. One is an announcement, communion tonight. Many of the students have said they have been unable to get communion as often as they wanted because of their fieldwork situations, and now you have an opportunity, and I'm not sure we've given enough publicity to this, so please avail yourself of this opportunity. Pastor Soans from town here will preach. And second comment, I'm very happy to see so many of you here. I'm very unhappy not to see more, because I believe that the topic, which is not just Lausanne, but evangelism, and which certainly pertains to us here as a school and to you as future pastors, is a tremendously important one, and one which we here, all of us, want to share in and work for. Now, I just will give a few impressions of this meeting. I probably wasn't as faithful an observer as our speaker, and I'm very happy that he came here and spoke to you on the meeting. But going over there, I did gain some impressions. I went over there as one who had been called and who had accepted the call to be president of this school. So I went over there mostly to learn what maybe I could bring back here by way of curriculum and ideas as to how this school might serve, first of all, our synod and then, of course, our Lord in this whole evangelism drive that we are all obligated to take part in. And let me give you some impressions. First of all, this was the most heterogeneous cultural group that has ever assembled, I'm sure, in the history of the Christian church. I imagine what percentage were white? 60? 50? Was it less? Of course, you don't know because everybody else in Lausanne is white, but there's no question about the fact that, I mean, the blacks and the Orientals were terrifically well represented. And I don't mean blacks from America, but from other. I drove in a plane back to London, partway home with a fellow from Nigeria, and he was one of 40 from Nigeria alone. And interestingly, there was not one Lutheran from Nigeria. In fact, they didn't even know what they were. They're just Christians. We've got to be aware of this, that the great majority of mission work and evangelism is being done not by denominations, but by groups within denominations and para-denominational, if that's a good word. That's just where the work is being done. So this fellow, you know, you almost have to, you can't say, are you a Baptist, and then no, get the picture. What you got to do is ask a lot of other questions just to get to know the man. And while I'm on it, one thing that was not mentioned here was that, and Graham did this at the very outset, but it was done all the way through, they tried to inform us as to how church work was going, evangelism, in the various areas of the world. Now, the report in Africa was like A+. The report in Western Europe was like F-. According to projections, and I don't believe these projections at all. I believe the statistics up to 4 billion. Apart from that, God enters the picture. I'll never forget Bill Danker telling us how many Missouri Synod Lutherans are going to be in this country in 1980. Was that a dream? He was in the post-war banking era where we were starting congregations all over the place. Now what's happened to all the denominations? And the organized church, except for pockets where Guido Merkins is, or Kennedy down there is, or some guy out in the West Coast, is going like that. And I'm all for the organized church. But it's not doing anything now. Which is another fact that was brought out at this meeting. And if you can bring this out, first of all, Fuller did more for this meeting, Fuller Seminary, than any other entity besides, let's say, Billy Graham and his group, who at least did the preaching and the singing. But the thinking was done by Fuller Seminary out there, McGavern and all those fine people who have analyzed the situation very clearly in terms of church growth, evangelism, missions, and so forth. And one of the facts that they can give us, and it's not a theory, it's a fact, and it emerges as you go to this group and see this heterogeneous gang there who don't belong to denominations and so forth, is that all effective missionary work today is being done outside of the organized churches or within them by groups, free groups, no exceptions. Catholics are doing nothing. Presbyterians are doing nothing. You're on the mission board. I better not say that about the Missouri Synod, but we're doing perilously little as a synod. With our unified budget, Lutheran Bible translators, statistically, if that means anything, grows at least 25% a year. If our synod had done that, why, we would have Christianized the world by now. Now, these are the kind of people that were there. Billy Graham, he doesn't believe in the organized church very much. And maybe good or bad, it doesn't matter. But the people that were there, the people who are doing something, who know something, were not presidents of church bodies. There were very few presidents of seminaries, because they couldn't care less. I was invited because I was a theologian, not because I was had some position in a church body. So it's completely different from the ecumenical movement in this thing, as if you're going to carry on the work of the church through the organized present structure, most of which are liberal or dead, or both. Well, if they're liberal, they're dead. Well, what this meant for me, and I know for our large Missouri Synod contingency there, was this, that the best part of the Congress was really getting to know a lot of the people there, meeting people from particularly missionary societies. I met a lot of Norwegians, as you might expect, who are doing a tremendous amount of work. There's no country in the world that sends out missionaries like Norway. None of them sent out by the state church. Always sent out by other within the church organizations, very conservative, in Japan, Madagascar, all over the place. Well, I talked to these people. Then I talked to the nationals. And you begin to get a picture of what's going on and what has to be done in missions and evangelism. So we were there mostly, I think, to learn. Not to learn theology, but to learn method and modus operandi and so forth. And I believe that we did learn a lot there in the area of both evangelism and missions. Now, remember, this was, it's called evangelism, but basically there's great emphasis was on transcultural evangelism and missions, see? Not the kind of evangelism you're doing here in town. At Trinity Church at all, but the tough type that goes into what they call evangelism sub 3, where you're not only talking in a different language, like to a Spanish American who shares our culture to a great extent, but you are talking into an entirely different culture, far different from the type of problem you'd have learning classical or Koine Greek. You're learning languages here that like that, and I mean, they're not structured our way. Their culture is totally different. In Nigeria, they haven't got a word for love in their language, and you've got to convey the love of God to a people like this. It's tremendously difficult. The statistics also show that the great majority of these statistical entities that haven't been evangelized yet can't be evangelized. It's simply physically impossible because we can't communicate with them yet. Culturally, this transcultural problem is the thing that Fuller is dealing with and that the people there were trying to deal with, getting these people from every possible cultural, linguistic background so that we could converse and discuss the overall great problem. This, then, I think, was probably the greatest value of the meeting, was the pooling of resources. And the problem for us was that they had so many of these little workshops going on at once, and some of them were absolute bummers, and I happened to get those. And some of them were just terrifically good, and you just had no way of knowing ahead of time. So some of our men learned a great deal in these little groups. Some of us didn't. My problem was I went to the ones where seminary education was involved. Well, I discovered very quickly, in all modesty, that I knew much more about the whole thing than any of those fellows did. And really, I don't think we can, the people in India can't tell us anything about seminary education. They can sure tell us a lot about evangelism in India. So I kind of lost out on that, but many of the men didn't. So I would say the learning of methods, seeing the situation as it exists on a worldwide basis today, looking at what at least seems to be the prognosis, let's say, for Africa, and the absolutely dismal picture in Europe. And I've lived there for 3 years, so nobody has to tell me about Europe. I know all about it. I've lived in 3 different countries. It's the same picture everywhere. Norway was by far the best, but it, comparing with this country, it is so secular that, and it's the best country in Europe except maybe Finland. Well, they're way off. See, it's like northern Minnesota.